Be aware that there is nothing you can say or do to change another person. The other person must want to change for the sake of the relationship. You cannot teach each other by explaining or telling how you feel or what you want to hear. You can only set your limits and ask for change. If the partner recognizes that her mate is living in reality one, and that he is unwilling or unable to change, she will face the loss of her hope for his companionship, partnership, love, and acceptance. She must decide if she needs to remove herself from the abusive relationship and how she can best protect and nourish herself and the spirit of life at her center. Only one of the women I interviewed, a very attractive and articulate 63-year-old, consciously chose to remain in a verbally abusive relationship. Following is an excerpt from that interview. I am married to a verbal abuser. How long have you been married to him? 42 years. When did you recognize that you were being verbally abused? After about 30 years. And you decided to stay in the relationship? Yes, but I think I chose the hardest path. Chapter 12. Responding with impact to verbal abuse. I got so used to hearing what I was always hearing that after a while, I stopped hearing what I was always hearing. Do you know what I mean? A partner. This chapter suggests specific responses to each of the categories of verbal abuse, which are described in Chapter 8. Each specific response enforces the limits you have set. For example, if your limit is, I won't tolerate being snapped at or yelled at, your enforcement is stop it. If you are experiencing some verbal abuse in your relationship, you may wish to move ahead to specific responses. However, in order to be more effective, I recommend that you listen to this introductory section on boundaries, possibilities for success, and general guidelines for responding to abuse. The more you understand why certain responses are particularly effective, the more able you will be to enforce your limits. When you set limits, you establish your boundaries. Your boundaries help to protect your integrity as an individual. They help to define you. All verbal abuse violates your boundaries in some way. If you are verbally abused, it is important that you respond with an awareness of the violation that has occurred. Responding appropriately enforces your limits and reestablishes or confirms your boundaries. Following are several examples of how verbal abuse violates your boundaries. If you are completely ignored by your mate, if he looks right through you as if you didn't exist, your boundaries are being violated. This is so because you are being treated as if your individuality does not exist, as if you have no boundary to set you off from the background scenery. This is a violation. We do not usually think of ourselves as having boundaries, but it is helpful to do so. Actually, boundary violation is the experience of abuse. Here is a second example of how verbal abuse violates the victim's boundaries. If you are called names, your boundaries are being violated. You are being defined by the abuser in his terms, not yours. It is as if your boundaries, which establish and define your individuality, do not exist. This is a violation. Take a moment now to imagine being ordered by your mate to do something. Can you tell how being ordered violates your boundaries? When you are ordered to do something, you are being treated as if you are not a separate individual to be consulted or asked. You are being treated as if you had no boundary. Nothing to separate you from the abuser, as if you were his extension, an instrument of his will. This is a great invasion of your boundaries and a violation of your personhood. Denial is also a violation of your boundaries. If your experience is denied or discounted, the abuser has invaded your boundaries. He has moved through them as if to enter your mind, and then has claimed to know what your experience actually was. Generally, according to him, it was a fantasy. In so many words, you don't know what you're talking about. This terrible invasion is, of course, a violation. These examples suggest the importance of responding to verbal abuse in a way that reestablishes and reconfirms your boundaries. Verbal abuse is a violation, not a conflict. There is a definite difference between conflict and abuse. In a conflict, each participant wants something different. In order to resolve the conflict, the two people in the relationship discuss their wants, needs, and reasons while mutually seeking a creative solution. There may or may not be a solution, but no one forces, dominates, or controls the other. Verbal abuse, on the other hand, is very different from a conflict. If we describe verbal abuse from the standpoint of boundary violation, we would describe it as an intrusion upon or disregard of oneself by a person who disregards boundaries in a sometimes relentless pursuit of power over, superiority, and dominance by covert or overt means. If you have encountered verbal abuse to which you wish to respond, you may find it helpful to take a few minutes to evaluate your relationship. What are the possibilities for improvement? Following are some questions which may help you to evaluate the quality of your relationship. Does your mate enrich your life? Does he bring you joy? Do you feel a real connection to him? Do you think in the same way and share the same dreams? Does he show goodwill? Goodwill in a relationship is a warmth and honesty which comes from one's deepest sense of truth. It is a concern for the other's well-being, as well as a strong desire to understand the other. It is demonstrated by a movement toward the other, in a psychological sense, with the intention of reaching mutual understanding and respect. Although you may experience some verbal abuse, if your mate shows goodwill and you can answer yes to the above questions, there is a good chance he fits into the category of having some misbehaviors which he may give up when you enforce your limits. If you are in a brand new relationship and see warning signs of verbal abuse, you may be wise to let the relationship go. It is not likely that a man who needs to dominate and control or to find a scapegoat for his anger will change easily, if at all. This is especially so in a new relationship in which he has invested little time and energy. It is also likely that when the newness wears off, he will become more abusive. On the other hand, if he is thoughtlessly trying out a few misbehaviors he's learned in the past, he may change quickly when he knows you've spotted them and won't tolerate them. If you are in a long-term relationship and are experiencing verbal abuse, if the relationship is important to you and you decide to respond to the abuse as this chapter suggests, you will soon discover for yourself whether or not your mate will stop his abusive behavior. You will also gain awareness and self-esteem in the process. The responses suggested in this chapter are designed to make an impact that stops the abuser, enforces the partner's boundaries, and protects her from further abuse. These responses may enable the abuser to recognize what he is doing, realize that he can't keep doing it, and stop the abuse. If you have been verbally abused in your relationship, you may have discovered that explaining and trying to understand have not improved your relationship. Therefore, I recommend that you respond in a new way, a way that will make an emotional, psychological, and intellectual impact upon your mate. He may change when he finds that you do know when you are being abused, that you have set limits, that you mean what you say, and that you will not take behavior you don't like, even if he says you don't know what you're talking about. Please do not, however, blame yourself if you cannot make an impact. If your mate won't or can't change, you may need to end the relationship. To begin, here are some recommendations. Tell your mate that you will not be responding to him in the usual way. Write him a letter, if that is easier. Also, tell him that you haven't been happy with some of the things you've heard from him, that you want to have a really good relationship with him, that you would like to see some changes in communication, that in the past you have tried to explain to him what bothered you about some of his behaviors, and that you don't feel that you have been successful. Assure him that you will be letting him know what you want and what you don't want in your relationship, that you have limits, and that you will let him know immediately if he oversteps them. Ask him for his cooperation. He may not believe that any changes are necessary. If this is so, it is because he is not suffering abuse. He may say, "You are making problems," or "You are trying to ruin the relationship." If he does, tell him, "Stop it right now. No more accusations." He may deny or seem blind to the fact that he is really abusive. However, you may still make an impact upon him with your responses. These responses are designed to awaken your mate to the fact that his behavior is inappropriate and is unacceptable to you. Some people change their behavior when they experience the impact of a strong response. Others are very resistant to change. If your mate remains abusive, it is not your fault, nor is it your responsibility. By taking these steps, you will know that you can recognize verbal abuse when it is occurring and that you can respond appropriately. No small task. If you are often too stunned, caught too much off guard, too shocked, or in too much pain or confusion to respond to verbal abuse, with even a "stop it," you may be in an extremely toxic and unhealthy relationship. Do get support. If you don't know where to turn, follow the suggestions in Chapter 13 on recovery. To respond with strength, it is important to know, besides knowing how and when your boundaries are violated, that verbal abuse may be a sign of emotional immaturity. Not knowing this, partners sometimes respond to childish outbursts, such as temper tantrums and nasty name-calling, as if they were coming from a rational adult. For instance, when some partners are called names, they wonder, "What am I doing that's making him think that of me?" Of course, he isn't abused for what she does. A child's name-calling, "You poo-poo," and an adult's name-calling, "You bitch," both originate within the same level of emotional development. The child hasn't had time to mature, so we are not disturbed by his name-calling. The adult, who is still name-calling, not only is disturbing, but may also be dangerous. Countering is another example of immaturity. For instance, if you have been around a 4-year-old who is striving to learn how things are, you will probably have heard countering, "It's not that way. You're wrong." To the 4-year-old, his view is the only view. The child wants the world to be fixed and sure. The mature adult recognizes that it isn't, that there are as many points of view as there are people. Through the process of maturation, we not only learn to respect other people's views and perspectives, but we also learn how to express anger appropriately. For the most part, we take after our own parents in the expression of anger. Knowingly or unknowingly, parents teach through example. By the time we reach adulthood, we have learned how to express anger appropriately. The abuser has missed this crucial learning. And this, by the way, is exactly why he is angry and abusive. Anger, properly expressed, is not abusive, destructive, blaming, or accusatory. On the other hand, when anger is expressed abusively, it is destructive and hurtful. Anger can be expressed in a healthy way. For example, when the partner responds to abuse with a forceful, "Stop that," she uses her anger to protect herself. This constructive use of anger is quite different from destructive blame and accusation. Destructive blame, "You know what you did," and accusation, "You're just trying to get out of it," are forms of abusive anger. One might imagine how confusing this abuse can be to the partner who may have heard it throughout her life. A word of caution. If you are feeling stunned, shocked, or in too much pain to speak, if your mate seems to go out of control with anger, if you are feeling fearful of him, if he has threatened you with any harm, if he has hit you or threatened to hit or hurt you, you should not be dealing with his abusive behavior alone, and you must question the health of staying around him. Responding to verbal abuse means responding with strength so as to make an impact. It is not easy, so go at your own pace. You are not involved in word games when you are living with abuse. You are fighting for your spirit, your sanity, your soul. When you are caught off guard, it is difficult to think of what to say. It is easier to remain calm around an abusive stranger, such as the driver who cusses you out as he passes you, than it is to stay calm around an abusive mate. This is so for many reasons, one being that your heart is open to your mate, and he has therefore the power to reject you. Abuse is rejection. It is painful and toxic. A final caution. Don't ever delude yourself into thinking that you should have the ability to stay serene no matter how you are treated. Your serenity comes from the knowledge that you have a fundamental right to a nurturing environment and a fundamental right to affirm your boundaries. If you are experiencing verbal abuse and want to respond as authoritatively as possible, before you begin trying some of these suggestions, I recommend that you listen to the rest of this book. Then, review the responses. The more you know about verbal abuse and the abusive personality, the more able you will be to respond with strength and impact. At first, it may be helpful to practice role-playing with a friend or counselor. This way, your friend can read the abusive statements from Chapter 8, and you can practice appropriate responses. If you don't have someone to practice with, put an empty chair in front of you and imagine the abuser sitting across from you. Then, try playing both roles, speaking out loud if possible. This role-playing affords you the opportunity of gaining insights into the kinds of abuse you have experienced. Besides role-playing, it might be helpful to you to review the list of categories of verbal abuse in Chapter 8, to discover whether you can give one or two examples for each category. This will help you to recognize abuse when you hear it. When you respond to verbal abuse, know that when you are being put down, ordered around, yelled at, and so forth, you are being abused, and abuse is unjust, disabling, and destructive. Remember that the abuser is not speaking in a rational, adult way. Know that you are responding to a person who is in some way trying to control, dominate, or establish superiority over you. Know that you have done nothing to cause it. Know that it is not healthy to live in an abusive atmosphere. distance yourself from the abuser by seeing his immaturity for what it is. Respond with a tone of authority and firmness that shows that you mean business, are serious, and will not tolerate any more abuse. Stay aware. Concentrate on the present. Notice what your senses tell you. How do you feel? How does he sound to you? What do you see? In general, when you respond to verbal abuse, speak firmly and clearly. Stand or sit straight and tall. Hold your head high. Look the abuser in the eye and breathe deeply, letting your abdomen expand with the intake of air. Learning to recognize and respond to verbal abuse takes time, energy, effort, determination, and dedication. Even after your mate stops shouting at you or putting you down or indulging in whatever had been his abusive behavior, there are factors in your relationship that may need work. If he is willing to work with you, if he wants to change, if he has goodwill toward you, if he has been able to acknowledge his abusive behavior and to ask you what you want and need in the relationship, then you both may be able to build a fine relationship. How soon can you expect results? No more abuse. Much depends upon your mate. You can't make it happen all by yourself. For example, if he cannot or will not stop yelling at you even when you tell him to stop, and if he is determined that you cause his anger, you cannot expect results. If he does not want to change, then of course he won't. In general, you will know within a month or two whether he is changing, because he will either have stopped abusing you or he will be continuing to abuse you. If he is deeply concerned about you and cares about your well-being, and if he wants a healthy relationship with you, you may see results in the first week. Suggested responses to each of the categories of verbal abuse follow. Each category is described in depth in Chapter 8. You do not need to memorize all the suggested responses. You might convey the same meaning in your own words. Responses to specific categories of abuse. If you are in an extremely difficult situation and need a quick, all-purpose response to verbal abuse, which will see you through most verbally battering situations, try Stop That Kind of Talk Right Now. Responding to withholding. Withholding is a purposeful, silent treatment, and as explained earlier, it is a violation of your boundaries. You need no longer sit through long hours of silence punctuated by your occasional questions, comments on the news of the day, or expressions of personal interest while you get no response from your mate. Whether you are out to dinner, at home, or spending a holiday at the beach, if you have experienced hours or days or whatever is your limit of non-responsive closed silence, leave the area stating firmly, clearly, and matter-of-factly as you leave, "I am feeling very bored with your company." Then be gone, as long as you want to. You may or may not make an impact, but at least you won't be bored. Reading a book or taking your children out for ice cream is less boring and less painful than hoping for a response and getting the silent treatment. Alternatively, one woman put on her earphones and sat down to dinner with a favorite tape playing. She gestured and hummed through dinner to music only she could hear. Her unusual behavior made an impact on her mate. He soon made overtures to engage her in conversation. Responding to countering. If your mate counters your ideas, feelings, and perceptions, or go so far as to refute what he misconstrues you to have said, you may, in either case, say authoritatively and decisively, "Stop," while holding your arm out in front of you at a right angle to your body, palm out, facing him in the style of a traffic officer. Follow the word "stop" with the request, "Please look at my lips." Then repeat your original statement while speaking slowly and distinctly. Do not explain what you said or what you meant, because a counterer will simply counter your explanation. Repeat this process every time you are countered. Remember, you have a right to your own thoughts and perceptions. If you stay aware and alert and stop countering on every occasion, you may affect your mate's behavior to the extent that he stops countering you. If you express your view of something and he says, "Oh, I don't see it that way," that is fine. He isn't countering you. He is simply stating that he has a different view. In the lampshade dialogue in Chapter 8, the abuser countered his own statements when they were repeated back to him. If your mate expresses an opinion to you, and you repeat it back to him to express your understanding, and then he counters your repeat of his statement, stop everything right there. Do not try to express understanding of his second statement. Recognize with your increased awareness and trust in yourself that your original understanding of him was correct. He is countering you, not trying to reach understanding with you. Knowing this, simply say, "Hold it. I'm not following you. Would you please write that down?" Or, "Cut it out." Or, "Stop countering me." If he refuses, don't spend even a minute trying to understand what he is saying, and don't take him seriously. He isn't struggling to be understood or to understand you. If you try to understand a counterer's meaning, you will become confused and frustrated. Another response to countering that works in most situations is, "So you say," said very calmly, slowly, and emphatically. It is undebatable and leaves the counterer with full responsibility for his own statement while leaving you with the right to your own opinion. Sometimes countering comes in the form of a challenge. If after expressing a personal perception such as, "I thought the play was great," you hear a challenge such as, "You can't prove it," the way to respond is to simply say no. Then disengage. Leave the room. You might take a walk, visit a friend, take yourself to lunch, go to the library, check out the powder room, window shop, or take the children to the park. You have a right to your own view, your own opinion, and your own perspective. There may be as many views of something as there are people on the planet. Each one's view fits with her or his perspective, experience, beliefs, and so forth. When you are told that your view is wrong, it is as though someone has stepped into your body and mind and then negated your experience. Clearly, countering is a violation of your boundaries. Responding to discounting. Discounting is a very troublesome form of abuse. How do you respond to discounting? It seems the damage is done. You are put down and hurt by a darting jab. Then, when you protest with, "Why did you say that?" or "That's not true," or "I feel bad, that wasn't very nice," you are told that your experience does not count. It counts for nothing. It is discounted with, "You're jumping to conclusions," or "You're blowing everything out of proportion." This is a tremendous violation and invasion of your boundaries. It is as if the abuser has taken up residence in your mind and swept out your experience, replacing it with his own ideas. Don't try to understand how your mate can think that or say that. Don't try to get him to understand that you don't jump to conclusions or that you aren't blowing it out of proportion. Don't protest with, "Why did you say that?" Respond with natural outrage, if for no other reason than that you don't like it, period. What will make an impact? Try, "Stop that kind of talk right now." Or, "Hold it. I don't ever want to hear that kind of talk from you." Or, "Cut it out." These responses may be opposed by a confirmed abuser. However, they are not easily discounted. Use them any time you encounter verbal abuse and are caught by surprise. If you are more perplexed than outraged when you hear discounting such as, "You don't know what you're talking about," respond very forcefully, as if you've made a great discovery, throwing your hands up into the air while exclaiming, "Aha! So that's what you believe." This works with many "you" statements. If he says yes, simply say with great meaning and mystery, "I see." The one thing the abuser tries to avoid is taking responsibility for what he says. This response lets him know that you hold him responsible and know that his beliefs are not your beliefs. Responding to abuse disguised as a joke. When you are put down and you tell your mate that you didn't like what he said and he tells you it was just a joke, or when he laughs uproariously about it, you have suffered from abuse disguised as a joke. In order to respond to this form of abuse, it is helpful to know that he has put you down because he thinks doing so will put him up, so to speak. This says something about his rationality and his maturity. In some cases, when the partner tells her mate that she didn't like what he said, he may take this self-revelation as an attack, and instead of apologizing and expressing sympathy for her feelings, he may put her down again by telling her, "You don't have a sense of humor." If you hear this from your mate, do realize that he has violated your boundaries and invaded your being and has presumed to define the most intimate quality of your nature, your sense of humor. Don't try to explain to him what wasn't funny about the joke. Don't try to explain to him the kinds of jokes you find humorous. Don't try to explain to him the kinds of jokes that, for some reason which you aren't aware of, you don't find humorous and would like him please not to say to you. Don't ask him what he meant or why he said it. Don't spend time wondering if he understood how it sounded, even if he's acting like it sounded funny to him. Don't spend time wondering why you can't laugh at the wit in the disparagement. Wonder instead about his maturity. Anytime you are put down, disparaged, denigrated, or ridiculed, or just don't like what you're hearing, try responding emphatically with, "I'm wondering. Now that you have said that, put me down, interrupted me, laughed at me, do you feel more important? I'd like you to think about this." Then disengage, leave the room, or tell him you are taking a time out. In any case, you will make a greater impact upon your mate if you take this approach. Don't carry on any discussion. You might say, "I don't want to talk about it," or "I'll get back to you later," if he continues to challenge you. Responding to blocking and diverting. Stay aware and alert to your feelings. If you feel frustrated when you are asking your mate about something of concern to you, or when you are trying to tell him about something which is important to you, you may be experiencing blocking and diverting. Since you have a right to manage your affairs, if you are being blocked and diverted from gaining the information you need, then your boundaries are being violated. You are being thwarted in a sneaky, covert way, as if you did not have basic rights. This is an assault upon your human dignity. If you are asking a question and are being blocked and diverted, do not respond to the statements that are being thrown at you like roadblocks, and do not respond to the statements that are diverting you from your purpose. Say, "Look at me," then keep repeating your question or statement. For example, "Where did the $5,000 go?" "Are you telling me I have to sort through all this when you don't even balance your checkbook?" "Look at me. Where did the $5,000 go?" "If you don't like my bookkeeping, then you do the taxes from now on. I've had it with you." "Look at me. Where did the $5,000 go?" Repeat your question until he responds to it. Stay focused on your own feelings, your desire to know. Don't get caught by his words. It would be easy to want to defend yourself, but if you did, you would then be diverted. His response might be either a direct answer to your question or a direct statement telling you he will not answer your question. Neither is blocking or diverting. If you wish, you might say, "Stop diverting me." Responding to accusation and blame. Responding with awareness to accusation and blame is crucial if the partner is to live free from abuse. This is so because awareness of accusation and blame, as well as the knowledge that accusation and blame are abusive, frees the partner to leave the abuser if he does not stop the abuse. Another way to express this is that the partner may stay in an abusive relationship because she believes that she can explain to her mate that she is not doing what she is accused of doing and that she is not responsible for what she is blamed for. The partner wants her mate to understand her and to realize that she is not his enemy. If you experience verbal abuse in your relationship, then, without a doubt, you experience accusation and blame. You can respond most effectively to accusation and blame when you recognize it and fully realize that verbal abusers blame and accuse the people they abuse. When you are accused and blamed, you are abused. When you are yelled at, snapped at, told that you are acting wrong, acting smart, acting dumb, trying to start a fight, imagining things, twisting things around, interrupting, trying to have the last word, going on, thinking wrong, thinking you're smart, thinking you know it all, picking a fight, asking for it, looking wrong, looking in the wrong way, looking for trouble, trying to start an argument, and so forth, you are being abused. Respond with, "Stop accusing and blaming me right now. Stop it." You might choose to add any of the following. "Don't let me ever hear you say that again." "Remember whom you're talking to." "Don't talk to me like that." "I think you know better than that." Don't spend a second trying to explain that you weren't doing what you were accused of doing or guilty of what you were blamed for. Just say, "Stop it." Abusive statements are lies about you which are told to you. They violate your boundaries. The abuser, in effect, invades your mind, makes up a story about your motives, and then tells it to you. No human being has the right to do that to another. Generally, accusing and blaming involve lies about the partner's intentions, attitudes, and motives. They leave her feeling frustrated and misunderstood, and therefore especially desirous of explaining herself. If she does try to explain herself, the abuse is perpetuated. One more word about explaining. If you are encountering abuse and feel that if you could explain things, he'd understand, remember this. If someone started throwing rocks through your windows, you would be more inclined to tell him to stop than you would be to explain to him why he shouldn't throw rocks. Verbal abuse is like a rock thrown through your window. Responding to judging and criticizing. Usually, judgments and criticism are lies about one's personal qualities and performance. They are blows to self-esteem. When you hear judgments and criticisms such as, "You're a lousy driver," it might be helpful to ask yourself, "Who presumes a right or authority to judge and criticize me? Who is the critic? Who is making the judgment? Not a court of law, nor a Supreme Court justice, nor a God, but someone who should be minding his own business." No one has the right to judge and criticize your personal qualities and performance. Defining you violates your boundaries. The presumption is an invasion. To respond to judging and criticizing, speak as strongly, firmly, emphatically, and authoritatively as you can, and let the energy of your anger support you. Do you hear yourself? Stop judging me. Cut out the criticism. Enough of that. I don't accept that. That's nonsense. Please keep your comments to yourself. Mind your own business, please. This is not your concern. Then disengage. Leave the area, if at all possible, and certainly don't continue with a discussion. Further discussion dilutes the impact of your response. Response to trivializing. Trivializing is an abusive behavior which makes light of your work, your efforts, your interests, or your concerns. It is done very covertly, often with feigned innocence. The abuser invades your boundaries and moves into your psyche by telling you that what is meaningful to you has little meaning. What is valuable to you has little value. He attempts to dilute meaning and value in your life. When you hear trivializing, you might respond with any of the following. I certainly don't feel supported when I hear that kind of talk. I'd rather not be hearing this from you. I've heard all I want to hear from you. Responding to undermining. Because undermining is cruel and covert, the best response is to tell it like it is. I don't like your attitude. That felt like a low blow. Cut that out. I am definitely not having any fun with you. One type of abuser will laugh if his mate accidentally hurts herself. If, for example, she falls in the mud or burns herself spilling the soup, the abuser expresses hilarity. This type of abuse undermines the partner's self-esteem and is an expression of the abuser's sadistic tendencies. It invades the partner's boundaries, violating her experience of reality. The abuser is saying, "That is not hurtful. That is something which gives pleasure. See me laugh?" Responding to threatening. If you are physically threatened or threatened with physical harm, including sexual assault, married or not, or perceive a situation that seems as if it might become physically threatening, or if you feel that your or your family's well-being is threatened, it is extremely important that you find support and help as soon as possible. If you are verbally threatened in other ways, your mate is trying to manipulate you. If you don't do what he wants, for example, he threatens to leave, stay out all night, say no to you the next time you ask him for something, and so forth. In this case, the threat of pending disaster shatters the partner's serenity as well as her boundaries. Respond as clearly and as calmly as you possibly can with, "Don't bother me with those threats, please," or "Stop threatening me," or "I don't want to hear it," or "Leave me alone." Responding to name-calling. Name-calling, as described earlier, is an invasion of your boundaries. Since name-calling is outrageously abusive, it should be responded to with outrage. Stop that. Don't ever, ever call me names. I don't want to hear any name-calling in this house, around here, anymore. If you have been called names, it is very important that you realize that no one ever, for any reason, has a right to call you names. There is no justification for name-calling. If you have become accustomed to being called names, it is also important to keep in mind that it is possible to live your life free from this kind of abuse. Many people do. There is a strong possibility that a name caller does not have and may not gain the requisite emotional development to love another in a healthy relationship. Responding to ordering. If your mate gives you orders, he has forgotten that you are a separate person, with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that you are a free person, and that if he wants something of you, he must make a courteous request. You might remind him of your boundaries and call this to his attention by saying, "Who are you giving orders to?" Or, "Do you hear yourself?" Or, "Can you say please nicely?" Or, "I don't follow orders." If he gives you orders beginning with "we," as for example, "We're leaving right now," you might in this instance remind him of your boundaries by saying, "That's not what I had in mind." Responding to forgetting and denial. You cannot respond appropriately to denial if you believe the abuser. Do not believe the abuser's denial, or you may be caught in the endless cycle of trying to explain to him how he hurts or frightens you and just how disturbing some of his behavior is. If you become stuck in this cycle of needing to explain, it may be because you believe that there is some way to gain your mate's understanding. When he says he doesn't know what you're talking about, you may believe that you can explain to him what you are talking about. However, this is not possible. Responding with authority to angry or raging denial is an additional problem. Without really thinking about it, the madder he gets, the harder the partner may try to explain herself so that he won't be so mad. The more she explains, the madder he gets, so the more she tries. Then the more he denies. This is the cycle of trying to explain. Since abusers claim that their partners make them mad, the partner often believes that she has somehow thrown her mate into a rage, and all because he has misunderstood her or she has said something wrong. She may assume that when she can get him to understand what she meant, he'll stop raging and at least be happier with her. If the partner believes the abuser's denial, she might also become stuck in another way. She might become stuck trying to overcome or transcend her hurt, having decided that no matter what, she shouldn't be disturbed because after all, he says she's taking it all wrong. The trickiest form of denial is forgetting. Be aware that forgetting is a form of denial that shifts all responsibility from the abuser to some weakness of mind. "I don't remember saying that," leaves the partner wishing she had a witness. How can you tell him you are upset by something he said if he says that you made it up and that he didn't say it? The key here is, don't tell him later you were upset when. Don't give him a chance to deny the abuse or to discount your feelings. Instead, when you hear something you don't like, respond immediately with words that tell him in no uncertain terms to cut it out. The two most effective responses to denial are "stop it" and "stop making me crazy." In order not to be confused by denial, keep your attention focused upon your own feelings and bodily sensations. Don't for a minute try to figure out what your mate is thinking or feeling. Don't for a second think about whether he'll understand why you're telling him to stop it. Don't even for a split second wonder whether he'll like your response. If you feel the hurt, pain, or confusion of abuse, don't spend time trying to understand your mate or how he could be saying what he's saying. If you don't like it, respond in a way that lets him know you want him to stop right now. If he does tell you he doesn't remember an incident that was disturbing to you, don't accept his forgetting denial. Simply say, "I don't believe you, and I don't want it to happen again." Responding to abusive anger. While reading the responses throughout this section, If you noticed yourself thinking or feeling that you would be afraid to respond as suggested, you may be in a relationship with an anger addict. If so, you must respect your fear and yourself and follow the caution near the beginning of this chapter. Abusive anger is a very significant factor in verbal abuse and seems to be closely linked to the need to blow up, to dominate, to control, to go one up, and to put down. How do you respond to abusive anger? The women I spoke with who had encountered abusive anger all felt afraid of this kind of anger, and not without reason. A general rule for dealing with an angry man is to stay away from him. However, if you are being snapped at and yelled at, you may need to have some strategies of response which make an impact on your mate, which motivate change in your mate, or which give you time to get out of the relationship if necessary. If your mate yells and snaps at you, you may feel too stunned to respond. You may, however, be able to distance yourself somewhat from him by thinking of him not as your husband or the father of your children or a friend or your champion or kin, but instead as a petulant, screaming, tantrum-throwing, recalcitrant, or argumentative child. If you can bring one of these images to mind the next time he yells at you, you might respond with, "You may not raise your voice to me," or, "I don't like that tone of voice." Or you might be quick enough to say, "Stop. Take a deep breath, and please talk nicely." An angry man may abuse you around friends in a way which has meaning only to you. In this situation, if you speak up, you may appear to be out of line or making something up. Try responding with, "Although no one here knows what this is about, I am very displeased with you." Many partners find responding to abusive anger particularly difficult. This anger not only is unexpected, but is usually expressed with words which catch the partner by surprise. What is he thinking? What does he mean? Her mind is searching, analyzing, trying to understand what he's yelling about and what it means in relation to her. The key to responding to abusive anger is, don't pay any attention to the words. When you are being snapped at or yelled at, you are being abused. Consequently, you do not need to spend a second taking it in, analyzing it, or trying to understand it. If you, like most partners, find it exceedingly difficult to respond to abusive anger, try to stay alert in the present for the signs of anger. The moment you hear anger in the tone of his voice, respond with, "Hold it." Then leave. Or if you are talking to him on the phone, hang up. The moment you see the rigid, tense, ready to explode appearance of his face and body, respond with, "Hold it," or leave. The moment you sense his tension in any way, leave. These responses may help you to make an impact and avoid abuse. If you can become aware of the anger attack the moment it starts, so that you can stop it or get away immediately, you may break the pattern of being caught by the abuser's words. If you don't get hooked into trying to understand the words, you can respond more quickly and with greater clarity. You cannot change anyone. If your mate is abusive and does not choose to change, you may have to confront the reality that you cannot live a healthy life in an unhealthy environment. You were not meant to live your life being on guard, ever prepared to respond to abuse. Furthermore, the absence of abuse does not necessarily guarantee a warm, caring, happy relationship. If possible, solve the problem before it starts. The best way to avoid verbal abuse in a relationship is to spot any potential abuser and avoid a relationship with him in the first place. If you are considering a new relationship, be discriminating Notice the difference between what you want, what you imagine, and what you are actually getting. Notice if you and your new mate share the same reality. The following questions serve as a means of evaluation. You must trust your own perceptions and feelings to answer these questions. If you come up with even one answer you don't like, there is a good chance you will not have a healthy relationship. Does he have a sense of joy in life? Do you enjoy his ideas, and do you feel a rapport with him? Do you feel a real connection, laughing together and catching meanings in the same way? Is there a best friend quality to your relationship? Do you feel relaxed with him? Can you really be yourself without criticism? Does he share his interests with you and express an interest in yours? Does he speak openly and honestly about himself? Do you feel warmth and understanding from him? Is his humor often at the expense of others? Or is it bitter or intimidating? Or does it make you uncomfortable? Does he seem distrustful of a number of other people? Does he argue against your thoughts, ideas, feelings, and experiences? Is time spent with him not as pleasant as you usually anticipate? Is his world composed of good guys and bad guys? Does he seem to understand or remember things differently from you? Does he make assumptions about you based on anecdotal evidence? Whether you are, were, or never have been in an abusive relationship, the preceding questions present some criteria by which you might evaluate any old or new relationship. Most important of all are your own feelings. If you experience the slightest feeling that something is wrong, it is. Chapter 13. Recovery. All changes, even the most longed for, have their melancholy, for what we leave behind us is a part of ourselves. We must die to one life before we can enter into another. Anatole France. When the partners of verbal abusers recognize the abuse and take the necessary steps to ensure that they are no longer subject to it, they are already in the process of recovery. Recovery is a process of healing and reorientation that does not follow a fixed schedule and takes different amounts of time for different people. The recognition of abuse, whether it be emotional, physical, or sexual, whether it occurred in childhood or in adulthood, brings both pain and shock. The spirit is wrenched from its foundations as mind and body confront the inconceivable, which must, in the end, be recognized as a reality, realized, and integrated. The longer the abuse has been perpetuated, and the more intense it has been, the longer the process of recovery can take. In her book, Stopping Wife Abuse, Jennifer Baker Fleming lists affirmations which support women in thinking of themselves in stronger and more positive ways. 1979. I include the list here with changes and additions to support victims of verbal abuse. I can trust my own feelings and perceptions. I am not to blame for being verbally abused. I am not the cause of another's irritation, anger, or rage. I deserve freedom from mental anguish. I can say no to what I do not like or want. I do not have to take it. I am an important human being. I am a worthwhile person. I deserve to be treated with respect. I have power over my own life. I can use my power to take good care of myself. I can decide for myself what is best for me. I can make changes in my life if I want to, I am not alone. I can ask others to help me. I am worth working for and changing for. I deserve to make my own life safe and happy. I can count on my creativity.